You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who considers a silver medal a participation award, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. So great to have you with me on this Monday, this windy Monday night in the state of Wisconsin. Hope you're having a great day. We have a great question tonight, and it is, who is your favorite first lady? So text us, let us know what you're thinking. So far, Michelle Obama is in the lead, I would say handsomely, but I will read your texts in just a few minutes. We'll play some catch up there. Nellie Kluse will be here at 7:20. She's a filmmaker and a director whose film The Dells will screen at the Milwaukee Film Festival tomorrow night and then again next week. We've been having some fun with the Milwaukee Film Festival guests and all kinds of great stuff going on. I'm going to talk about The Accountant 2, which I saw over the weekend, and Drop. But right now, we have a few minutes left with our pal Zane Lamprey, who is coming to Wisconsin. You can find out his dates at zanelamprey.com, where he will be playing in our state. We're going to talk a little bit about his TV shows right now. He's got all these TV shows on. He's a very busy guy. Zane, I have to get this out of the way. I saw recently that you tasted bull's testicles.
Where did you get this information from?
On the interwebs, the dark web, apparently. I don't know what's going on.
yeah, for sure I have. Yeah, those are, you know, Rocky Mountain oysters for sure. bull testicles. I have them, you know, sliced and breaded and fried, not like whole.
Do they melt in your mouth, or is it like just are they kind of tough?
They're horrible. They're just like. They're like the worst chicken nuggets. They're just like, I mean, I think it's a rite of passage. I don't think a lot of people are really going out there to have these, you know, for the flavor. They're very gamey and nasty. But you know, look, so doing my drinking shows, doing my food shows, sometimes you have to eat things for the sake of the show. And that was definitely one of those things.
take one for the team. Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm proud of myself for not making a teabagging joke there. So
I wasn't sure the latitude I would get, but yeah, continue. It's best that we did it.
So tell us about Have Fork, Will Travel. This looks like a really cool show, and you really get into some great food talk too. I mean, you got it all covered. Food, drinks. It's just all fantastic stuff.
I did, but I don't want to like burst this bubble that you've made up. But like, you know, these are all things from a time when those kinds of shows were the staple of many of these networks: travel, food,
yeah,
cooking, at Fine Living Network. But that's just not the way that it is anymore. You know, I had a Food Network, a travel show for Food Network, where I traveled around the world and trying different you know, foods. I did the same thing for drinks. But like, there's just not any network that's doing that kind of stuff anymore.
Oh, that is nuts.
And it's really like a product of YouTube, where people can kind of go out and piecemeal their entertainment together, or go down the rabbit hole with social media. And so,
yeah,
you know, those shows just aren't, it's just aren't really happening. And I did a bunch. I did like 6 or 7 different series, and had a great time. And I think I struck while the iron was hot.
Yeah.
But now it's kind of moved on. You know, Travel Channel, all they do is like paranormal stuff right now. They don't even do travel. It's just the weirdest thing.
That is really weird.
You know, and Food Network is kind of the only one, but they're like, you know, sticking with their stars. And cooking, I don't know that that's even around anymore. So,
okay.
Yeah, but when the time when it was all happening, I was in the mix, and I had some great shows, and I think I've eaten and drank in 71 countries. I got lucky.
And that's all of those combined are almost as much as we eat and drink here in Wisconsin. So kudos to you.
That is correct.
So,
yes.
All right. So you've done the hosting thing. You've done all that. You're very busy doing 140 stand-up dates a year. What do you prefer? And where do you see your career going? Like, do you want your own sitcom? Are you happy just performing live in front of audiences? Where are you in 5 years?
I'm never happy. Even if I was doing a sitcom, I would never be. I wouldn't be. Not that I'm not happy. I'm always happy.
Right.
I'm never content. Okay, I'm never content. I never accept the way that things are. And I think that's the reason I'm able to stay busy, is that I'm always trying to figure out what to do. I know a lot of people, you know, friends that were hosts at the same time as me are now, you know, they're doing different things. They're not even in entertainment anymore. So, I mean, look, I'm happy doing these shows, these stand-up shows. I like doing them at breweries. Do I prefer that I was doing theaters and stadiums? Yeah, sure. That would be okay. Sure. I wouldn't be upset with that. And I'm doing 140 shows a year. Could I cut that in half? Yeah, that'd be great. If I was doing bigger ones, I could do less of them, but I am happy with what I'm doing.
Sure.
And there's always conversations about bringing those shows back, whether it's the drinking shows, the eating shows. I had a meeting with the guys who created According to Jim for Jim Belushi about doing a sitcom. Yeah. There's always stuff in the works, but Hollywood moves at a very strange pace. And when I'm out here doing my stand-up shows, I can dictate that pace. I can be the master of my own destiny, which, you know, all the shows that you mentioned and more, they all got canceled. You know what I mean? And like, it was never me who quit doing those shows.
Right.
It's just that the network's tastes change, then the regime changes, you know, things move in and out. I don't have control over that. So
I thought
like
Have Fork was still on.
I'm
my bad.
That.
Yeah.
No. To be honest with you, I think it was about 15 years ago.
See, I have a black and white TV, so that could be part of my problem.
That does.
That's really interesting you say that, because anytime I've been on a project that didn't go or got canceled, people, I think it's how they treat you on the way out. It's like, listen, we're either going to bring this back, but we know we definitely want to do something with you. That means we never want to see you again. We're never calling. Go away. So if it's working out for you, if they bring back your shows, I think you're ahead of the game, buddy.
I did the show Three Sheets. That went off the air. People loved that show so much that Mark Cuban created Drinking Made Easy. And then that went off the air. And people liked that so much that we were able to do a show called Chug for Nat Geo. And then this other network, you know, that was called Drink TV, brought back the same iteration of a show called Four Sheets. So I've seen it happen four times.
Yeah.
So I'm very optimistic and open to the idea that it comes back. But in the meantime, I just, you know, I turned in my book. I'm writing my second book. I'm doing stand up. You know, when I'm back home, I'm very busy. So, you know, I have a podcast, and it's like, it's good. I like being the master of my own destiny. But, you know, I wouldn't mind someone coming in and rocking the boat with something bigger.
Absolutely. Well, listen, if I can take any credit at all, and I will,
for the
new picture on your website, it kicks ass, and you're kicking ass. So keep up the great work, and always good to talk to you, buddy. Come back soon, and I hope you crush it here in Wisconsin. If you get near Green Bay,
I will.
Let me know, and we'll have you in the studio. It'd be fun.
I will. Yeah, I will. You'll get back on the sauce. You don't want to hang out with me.
I'll do my best. Keep walking, too.
Brother.
All right, man.
You got it. Thank
Take
you.
Take care, Zane.
Cheers.
That's Zane Lamprey. I would say check out Have Fork Will Travel, but it's been off the air for 15 years. That's a guy who kind of prides himself in doing his research. So we'll have Nellie Kluse coming up in just a few minutes, folks, to talk about her documentary, The Dells, which you can see at the Milwaukee Film Festival, which is in full swing. Let's get to some text. Our question of the night, it was National First Ladies Day. Oh, I forgot to ask Zane who his first lady was, but... Well, that didn't come out right. Who his favorite first lady is. His first lady. That sounds very terrible. But that's our question of the night, folks. Let us know, who is your favorite first lady? And going to the text line here, Anna from Madison says, "Hi, Pete and Todd. My favorite first lady is Michelle Obama. She's not afraid to say anything. She's great." Totally agree, Anna. Outstanding choice. And Michelle is definitely in the lead. I would say tonight, Christine from Slinger says, "In history, Dolly Madison and Eleanor Roosevelt. In my lifetime, Betty Ford and Michelle Obama." Dolly Madison, she's going back to. She must have read a book, right? I mean,
I don't know.
Just because of the donuts?
I was just going to say, those those lovely, tasty snacks.
It's got to be. They named donuts after her. She had to be worthwhile as a first lady. And Eleanor Roosevelt, she's a butt kicker too. That's fantastic. Thank you, Christine. Nick from Marshall says, can't pick just one. I think I would have to say Jill Biden, Michelle Obama, and Hillary Clinton. All right. Three fine first ladies. Well done, Nick. Thank you. Tom from New Berlin says, Todd, my ex-wife, she was always president. Is he talking to you?
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Not sure.
We need a comma in there or something, Tom. I don't want to misrepresent you, Tom. Tom is an avid texter, and I love his text. But, I think she was always president. Like, his wife was the boss, maybe?
Okay.
I don't know. Give us some I didn't know that. But she's, again, not to go back to the word peculiar, but I've heard that she was kind of a peculiar first lady and a peculiar person. But I love that. Who doesn't love a seance in the White House? John from Columbia County, that's the 608, I'm sorry. He says, Barbara Bush was a class act. I think a lot of people agree with you there, John.
Yep.
Barbara Bush. I remember hearing a story about Al Franken on a plane with Barbara Bush.
Okay.
And she says, well, you're a great impressionist, Al, but it's nice that you don't have anything you've noticed about my son, George. And he goes, no, I have something. He kind of laughs. He kind of goes, she said, well, I don't think that's very accurate at all.
Oh, my gosh.
They got into this argument on the plane. It was great. Thank you, John, for the text. Susan from McFarland says, my first ladies would be Michelle Obama. However, if you know anything about the history of Eleanor Roosevelt, you would be certainly she was an amazing first lady. Boy, Michelle and Eleanor are kicking butt tonight in our little informal poll on the stream. Daniel is listening, and he says, I second Michelle Obama. All right, Michelle Obama's our front runner easily. Hey, I wanted to ask you about, it's a hell of a segue.
teach you that in broadcasting school, did they?
Yes. I went to broadcasting school. Where do you stand on exorcisms, Todd? Do they work? Are people actually possessed? Todd, in his spare time, folks, is a paranormal investigator, a very insightful one, and does great work. And we've talked numerous times on this show about some of the work he's done. I love talking to Todd about this stuff. But there have been movies made. Where do you stand on those?
I actually went and saw somebody that actually did exorcisms and actually went to a... an event where they spoke and they actually showed film and played audio of them doing this. I don't think everything is a possession, right?
Okay.
I don't. But sometimes I do believe in them. And the one thing that scares me, and this is going to get kind of deep, but sometimes people who may have mental issues, some issues in their life with alcohol and drugs and all that kind of, I worry that there might be more there than just everyday problems.
Okay.
And I worry that sometimes it's overlooked and maybe there's a little something extra going on there, but I do believe in them. I don't understand why religious.
That was my next question.
Yeah. Right? I don't know why it has to be religious in order for it to work. But yeah, I do. I believe some of that stuff does happen once in a while.
Where else, folks, can you hear about a comic who drinks and walks 50,000 steps with a dose of exorcism while he's on the phone with cockfights happening behind him?
Now, if he was walking and his head was spinning around and he was spitting out pea soup, then you'd have some.
Oh, that's horrible. That's the voice of Todd Michael sitting in for Conrad. We are coming right back with filmmaker Nellie Kluse. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba. I am Peach Wabba, your host. So outstanding to have you with me on this incredible Monday night here in the state of Wisconsin. Who is your favorite first lady? That is our question of the night. The Nightlight question of the night. Saturday was National First Ladies Day, so I would say Michelle Obama, wouldn't you say, Todd, is just way ahead of the pack right now.
Absolutely.
In terms of all-around awesomeness. So we got some Barbara Bush votes. We got some one for Hillary and Eleanor Roosevelt, I would say, making a good showing.
And I'm the only one that voted for Mary Todd.
Mary Todd.
I'm the only one.
Because you're biased, because of your name.
I know.
I said, I actually had a crush on Dolly Madison, too. So I got to put her up.
Oh, those snowballs? Is that what it was? The pink?
Oh, yeah.
The pink candy?
You know,
cake?
I bought those once just because I was curious.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell do those taste like? And I bought them, and it was just like a
Why the hell did I do that?
Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah. You know, I'm glad I ate that. All right. So now, folks, we're going to turn our conversations to independent film. This is exciting. The Milwaukee Film Festival is in full swing right now. It is a great film festival. And joining me now here at Nightlight for the first time is the creative talent behind the film, The Dells. My pleasure to welcome director Nellie Kluse. Hey, Nellie.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
This is great. It's great to have. Hey, do you have a first lady? A favorite first lady?
I'm trying to think. Michelle Obama's a good one. I kind of like Lady Bird Johnson, if only for the name.
Right.
And she's cool as well.
She's cool, but it is a cool name. It's like if you had a president named Cobra. That's like the equivalent. It's kind of a badass name, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you. How are you doing tonight? Are you excited about your screening coming up?
Very, yeah. I'm so excited to share the movie with Wisconsin audiences because it is a Wisconsin-centric film. And anyone so far I've showed it to in Wisconsin has a really good and interesting take on it. You know,
really? Okay. Well, we'll get into that too. But first, before I ask you, before we jump into The Dells, tell me a little bit about yourself and how did you get to this moment? Like, where did you start out in your career? And give us a little background, if you would.
Yeah, so I've been making films for quite some time now, like all in the realm of observational documentaries. Nonfiction film is really what I love working on. You know, you get to kind of have an excuse to be nosy and meet people and see what they're doing and go different places. When I started making this film, I was based in the Midwest. I was in Chicago and then in Iowa City. Now I'm based in New York, and I'm originally from upstate New York. And yeah, I've just sort of gradually worked on my own projects. You know, I tend to work in pretty sort of small scale way, like myself, doing a lot of the work. I do collaborate with other people. But yeah, kind of feeling it out, piecing things together and getting to know a place or a group of people and making a film about it.
So that's kind of interesting. That's a very Kerouacian almost approach to, filmmaking. Are you inspired by different locales, like to tell different stories? Like, what is your connection to Wisconsin? Did you have one when you made The Dells, or did the story come to you another way?
Yeah, I mean, I had been to Wisconsin, you know, living in Chicago, to Milwaukee and Madison and other places. But, you know, I had made another film that was about tourism and kind of people going on contemporary kind of like tourist pilgrimages to Niagara Falls and some other places. And all my Midwest friends were like, you know what you should check out is Wisconsin Dells if you didn't grow up going there. So I went and I just found the place really inspiring. Because, you know, there's so much happening. There's so many like visual layers and so much history and so many different people converging on this, you know, technically pretty small place. And it's so kind of international I was immediately drawn to it. And, you know, I was living not too far away at the time and just kind of made it my business to keep coming back and forth and, you know, kind of get to know the rhythms of the place, some of the people there, what was going on.
So, all right. So your home base right now is New York. What are you working on now?
Well, I'm working on a lot of screening and distribution stuff for this film, which has been really fun and exciting, working on some new projects. And then that I'm sort of in the beginning stages of, and then I also do camera work for other people's projects.
Nice. I saw too, that you taught film. Mm-hmm. In California, Cal Arts, and then also in Iowa. So have you ever learned anything yourself teaching film to others?
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really helpful to have to explain why you're doing something to other people or why you think you should do things a certain way, right. Or hear, you know, other options. But yeah, teaching is super inspirational, and you know, there's lots to be gleaned from just the things that students know or questions they ask. So I do really like teaching, and a shout out to all. I there's some really wonderful faculty members and teachers at UWM in Milwaukee who are doing a great job there in the film department. They've got a cool scene, I think.
Yeah, they certainly do. And I love talking to, and I had to ask you that because I love talking to people who make films, but also actually teach film. I think that's such a unique and cool existence. So this is, my guest is Nellie Kluse. Her screenings for The Dells, which we'll jump into after the news. I want to hear all about it. It's this great story about people coming from all over to work in the Wisconsin Dells. And we'll get more details on that. But the screenings are April 29th, 6:30 p.m. at the Oriental Theater. And then May 6th, 3 p.m. at the Downer Theater. So two outstanding venues. Have you been to those theaters yet? Have you ever seen anything there?
I've seen the Oriental Theater, but I have not been. I don't think I've ever been to a film there. So
it's so beautiful. It's like majestic. It's gorgeous. Are you going to do a Q&A at either venue?
I unfortunately can't. No.
Oh, okay.
So I really wish I could be there, but sadly, no.
All right. All the more reason that I'm going to pepper you with questions after the news, because we'll do our own little Q&A here, and we'll jump into the film The Dells with its director, Nellie Kluse. She is here over the stream with us. We'll ask her and hear all about her film The Dells, which you can check out at the Milwaukee Film Festival. John on the text line from Columbia County, the 608, he says, by the way, I make Bernie look conservative. There's a few of those listeners here at Civic Media. Thank you, John. Who's your favorite first lady? Get in on the fun. We are coming right back for more with Nellie Kluse. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. That would be the background music for my life. If I could have that just follow me places.
This one right here?
People go, who's this dude coming? I like this.
This is the Spinners, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the Spinners.
I'd love to have score as part of my life, even though it's a song. Tomorrow night on Nightlight, Milwaukee anchorman from CBS 58 and Marinette native son Mike Strela will be here in the studio sitting next to me.
I'm so jealous, by the way. I've known Mike since he worked up here in Green Bay.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He was on, I think, Channel 2 at the time, and then he went down to Milwaukee. Just one of those guys that I've always had a lot of respect for because I wanted to be a news anchor or a weather guy at one point, you know?
Wow.
So I'm really jealous. Please get some pictures with him.
By. Well, definitely. I don't like him that much. He's a Marinette native son. I'm a transplant, so he's kind of like my homie. We'll have that to talk about. He's going to be here in studio in Green Bay tomorrow night, so that'll be fun. And then founder of the SOGO Film Festival, Miles Kristen. What did I say? Why are you laughing?
You and Mike Strela, homies.
Two of the whitest guys ever. Hey, we could be homies. We could pretend we were more exotic.
Yeah.
Our question of the night, who is your favorite first lady? Let us know. We'll read your text on the radio. But right now, it's time to talk movies again. My guest is Nellie Kluse. She is a filmmaker, and her film, The Dells, is playing at the Milwaukee Film Festival tomorrow night, and then again on May 6th at 3 p.m. But tomorrow night is at 6:30 at the Oriental Theater. So Nellie is with us now over the stream from New York. Nellie, it's so great to have you here tonight. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. So, all right, so tell us about the film. What is The Dells about?
So it's kind of a group portrait of a lot of the international students, the J-1 student workers who come to the Dells in the summers and also at other times of year, but my film focuses on the summer to work at, you know, the water parks, motels, fast food restaurants. And it's kind of seeing the place through, you know, their sort of experiences to an extent and kind of seeing what they think of this place and what they get up to and kind of their experience being kind of fish out of water in a place they've never really been before, most of them.
What is their experience? I mean, do they like it? Is it a favorable experience for the most part?
I mean, I obviously can't speak for everyone. You know, lots and lots of different students come from different countries, and I only got to know some people. And but, you know, I think it's a mixed bag. I think it's, on the one hand, amazing to go to a new place and meet friends from all over the world. And, you know, it's really novel and exciting. And, you know, then there is, you know, you're working a lot. People are working really long. Kids are working really long hours. And it can be kind of difficult, and it can be kind of not totally what they expected in that way. Like, there's a sense that it's going to be so kind of glamorous and, you know, it's exciting, fun summer. And I think it is a lot of hard work, and they do face a lot of challenges in that way.
That's interesting. Where did this idea come from? You said people told you about the Dells, but this is another level. Like, you're kind of doing a deep dive into that world sort of with these workers. How did you, like, with every documentary filmmaker, there has to be that moment where you go, I'm going to spend multiple years of my life working on this, or a long amount of time, whatever it is. What was that moment for you, and what was your inspiration for making the film?
I think when I visited for the first time to kind of check out the place and see if there was possibility there, I just saw so many of these students kind of walking around, and just immediately thought that that would be something that could sustain a film and could sustain my interests. And then, you know, not just those students and their social world, but, you know, Wisconsin Dells is a place that I just find, you know, it's kind of designed to generate novelty and generate kind of, like, you know, excitement and a little bit of escapism. And so, yeah. I did find that for such a small place, you know, there's a huge density of people coming in. And so it just was always generating new possibilities. So every time I would go, I would meet new people, catch up with people I'd already met, find out about interesting, you know, local people and businesses. So it just kind of kept giving new possibilities. So that was what I liked about it.
Was it hard? Did they all want to talk to you, or was that a struggle getting people to come on camera and talk? Like, were they worried about anything or apprehensive?
Yeah, I mean, not everybody wants to take part in the film. And, you know, I was just kind of ask and explain a little bit about what I'm doing. Some people I developed friendships with and spent more time with. Some people who are in the film, it was just like a quick sort of encounter conversation that we had. I got to know a couple of local taxi drivers who drive people around in like van, little like minivan taxis in the Dells. And those guys were both really awesome, really kind of welcoming hosts to a lot of the students. They would drive them around, especially this one taxi driver, this guy Jason, who's wonderful, gives a lot of advice. So that was a useful place and an interesting place to spend time. You know, always getting new people, learning about what goes on and what they should do to navigate.
That's so great. My guest is Nellie Kloos. Her film, The Dells, is playing at the Milwaukee Film Festival at the Downer Theater on May 6th and at the Oriental tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m. Have you seen the film with an audience yet?
I have. Yeah, it's a mix. It's a mixed bag. Like, I've gotten really good responses to the film. I've sent it to a lot of the students or everyone who's in the film, as long as I can, you know, contact them.
Yeah.
So that's been really interesting to hear their responses. I've shown it. We did like a secret screening before the premiere, like,
ooh,
I'm to talk about now, but in Madison at the Wisconsin Film Festival.
Oh, yeah.
And that was really amazing, because, you know, people who have spent a lot of time in the Dells have a different take, like I was saying, and people were really interested in, like, you know, what's your favorite ride? Like, you know, they just have like a more in-depth knowledge, and they're seeing a place they knew, you know, maybe in a slightly different way. So that's really fun. And, yeah, you know, then I've showed it to audiences in Europe who just find it like so novel and strange. Uh-huh. Like, the kind of American kitsch aspect of it, I think, yeah, is like even more, stands out even more to them. So it's really interesting, depending on people's, what they're bringing to it, what they get out of it.
Are you seeing like the response you'd hope to get when you started the project? Like, is it kind of what you thought it would be, or did it evolve into kind of a different project, maybe more comedy or more heartfelt stories, or where is it now compared to where, when you started out?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a fun film in that, you know, a lot of young people kind of roaming around you know, learning, there's like quirks of what they're learning about the culture that they didn't already know. And, you know, there's comedy there. I do think it turned out like a little bit more serious than I expected in some respects, because of what I was saying about people kind of having a hard time having to put in a lot of work hours. And, you know, I also filmed, it's not really super explicit in the film, but I filmed during 2020 and 2021 when there was a lot fewer students because of COVID, obviously. Right. It was harder to travel. So the people that were here, you know, parks were closing down. They were kind of having to scramble to figure out something else. And there was a lot there. And then, you know, now after having made the film, you know, there's a lot in the news about international students getting visas revoked, you know, pretty arbitrarily. And, you know, they're kind of vulnerable. Like they come here as guests. And, you know, I think that was made clear to me when I was making the film in one way. And then now it's kind of come true in a different way. So it makes me think differently.
Did the Dells, did any of the establishments or hotels or restaurants have any issues with you talking to the employees? Was it hard to get releases, or did you have to go through that process?
I mean, I mostly focused on spending time with students who wanted to be in the film, like in off hours when they weren't working. There's definitely scenes of people working at various like hotels and restaurants and things, but you know, the big water parks, like they don't really, why would they really want someone to come around and, you know, come in and bother them with a camera. So they were a little less like open. And so mostly it's, yeah, like, I met some really great business people and got to know a lot of, local folks, but, the main meat of what we were filming was sort of off hours, hanging out at dorms, at parties, in between going to Walmart a lot. And riding around in the taxi. Yeah.
So what, like the people that come over here, the students, what are they hoping? Mm-hmm. Do they just want the experience of being in America for a while, or are they hoping to end up staying here? Are they trying to get experience in the service industry? What kind of people come here, I guess?
Yeah, it's a mixed bag. I mean, for this specific program, the summer work travel program through the State Department, you know, there's lots of different sort of rules and regulations, but basically, you have to be some kind of college or university student, like whether undergraduate or master's or something. So people have that in common. And I think it really varies. Some people are like, yeah, really curious about America and excited to experience what goes on here. People want to improve their English. They want to make new friends. You know, maybe you can make pretty good money if you have like a server job or something like that.
Right.
A little bit less so at these like housekeeping jobs and things, they really don't pay well. So, you know, a variety of reasons, but I do think people are united who come. The students that I met were, you know, excited and curious to kind of see, you know, in the US, we kind of export a sense of like, yeah, kind of glamour or like opportunity. And I think that really has worked to a large extent historically, and it is a place that draws people. And then of course they come to one very specific place, which is not like a lot of other places in the US. So it kind of, they get something kind of different, but unique.
What's the, do they have a, or maybe did you find that they have a sense of, what did they think of Wisconsin? Like, did they like being here?
Yeah, I mean, again, super varied. It depends, you know, like it depends on your job. It depends on your housing situation. People, I talked to a lot of students who are really struck by how beautiful it is here, you know, in the nature and all of this. And people were very like, a lot of people commented to me about how many thunderstorms there are all the time. It's like, you know, it's this constant cycle of thunderstorms in the summer. And, you know, like it depends, like anywhere you go and who you meet, you know, some people are making great local friends and some people have like a boss who's, you know, being a jerk to them. And so it really, you know, it's very varied. But I think a lot of people did develop an affection for the place.
Okay. So I always ask people when they come on what they're watching. You're a filmmaker. You do docs. What do you watch on TV when you're not busy planning a project or in the throes of a project?
Oh, my gosh.
Binge watching anything?
I'm not binge watching anything, but I do sometimes like to – I'm meaning to rewatch the show, like a lot of the show Cheers.
Oh yeah.
Not all of it, but I did that a while ago, and it kind of just goes down really easy, and I think it's a great show. And I like stuff about groups of friends and, like, you know, kind of a hangout show where you don't have to, it's not really about the plot continuing. The sitcom style kind of is a nice background thing to have.
I totally agree. It's funny you say that too, because I always watch, like, I'll go through a sitcom when I'm just laying in bed on my phone, and I'm on Cheers right now, and I'm just totally, I mean, I watched it when it first came out, but that show is such a treasure. So it's funny that you mentioned that. I'm with you on Cheers, but hey, thank you so much, Nellie. It's been great getting to know you. Good luck with your screenings.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Okay. Our pleasure. Good luck. Break a leg.
All right. Thanks.
That's Nellie Kluse. Check out The Dells screening tomorrow night at the Oriental at 6:30 and May 6th at the Downer at 3 p.m. When we come back, we'll wrap all this up. We'll read some texts. And I'm finally going to tell you about these movies I saw. I'm very excited, folks. Don't go anywhere. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Find the lady with the fat diamond ring. Then you know I can't remember a damn thing. I think it's one of those deja vu things. Or a dream is trying to tell me something. But will I ever stop thinking about it?
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. We are in the closing moments of this Monday night show. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been absolutely majestic, spectacular, having you be part of the show. Thank you for all your texts. Thank you to Nellie Kluse for joining me and Zane Lamprey, who is probably still walking. I would only guess. Sounded like he was only at about 40,000 steps. So,
wow.
You know, whenever someone walks that much, I'm like, they either do it because that's their exercise. They want to stay in shape, obviously, but also, like, maybe they can't give up Big Macs. Like, he's got to, you know what I mean? Like, he has to walk that much to maintain, but that's a lot. That's harder as you get older. I think Mino was telling me once he took a walk out here and he was so proud of himself. He walked for an hour and he gets back and he looks at his Fitbit or whatever it was. He goes, he burned 130 calories. Like, that's like not even a ho-ho. So you gotta go the extra mile. So I wanted to, okay, let's finish up. We've got a couple texts here, and then I want to play a clip for you guys that I thought was really cool that I found last night. But our question of the night was, who is your favorite first lady in honor of National First Ladies Day, which was Saturday? Jim from Appleton, that's the 920. He says, I have to go with, I don't know if he's listening at the beginning of the show, but this is eerie and peculiar. He says, I have to go with Abigail Adams and Dolly Madison, both strong women, steering their husbands toward women's rights.
Nice.
Yes. That's a guy that must have done a lot of reading.
Probably.
How do you know that? I just assume
we probably should, right? No. I mean, it's stuff we should know.
Todd, please. If this is like a once a month podcast, I'll read up on all the first ladies. I cannot be reading and doing all this research before every show. Steady Eddie in the 608 says, Pete, combining Einstein's theory of relativity and quantum mechanics means the past, the present, and the future all exist simultaneously. So in another time, in a universe far, far away, I, Steady Eddie, am the 599th president of the United States. My wife is Betty. So my favorite first lady is Sweaty Betty, wife of President Steady Eddie. It's going to be beautiful. First Lady Sweaty Betty will be honored and appear on the $1 trillion bill. President Steady Eddie. P.S. Yes, Pete, in case you're curious, Canada does become our 51st state. Hey there.
I love his texts. Sometimes I just wonder if there's a little...
a little wacky tobacky for the Steady Eddie? I don't know. You know, he could just be a freewheeling, kind of fun-loving guy.
Very well spoken. Thank you,
Not Steady everything Eddie. Is about drugs, Todd.
That's true.
You know, it is true. Dave on the stream says, Teddy's horse for me.
All right.
I don't get that.
Theodore Roosevelt had a horse, right?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
There you go.
That's so weird. He said Teddy, and I immediately went to Franklin. Teddy Roosevelt is one of my favorite presidents ever. That guy was.
Really?
Yes. And I'll tell you why.
Speak softly and carry a big stick. That's all I know.
The parks, you know?
Sure.
Founding the parks. And the guy resigned as the Undersecretary of the Navy to lead a charge up, I think it was San Juan Hill. Like, those guys don't exist anymore. They'll send other people's kids into battle. Don't make me go off, Todd. I will listen. I will make this show political now. No. So, all right. Thank you, Dave, for the text, and thank you all for your texts. All right. I got to play this clip because I found this last night. I didn't know this. Robert De Niro auditioned for The Godfather, did not get a part. Coppola did not cast him. And as history shows, he played young Don Corleone in Godfather 2 and won a Best Actor Oscar for that. But I found, it was posted somewhere, this audition of him, De Niro, auditioning for the role of Sonny Corleone, which went to James Caan. And here is Robert De Niro's 24-second audition.
You're going to take both of them out on me. You're going to take them. And you know what they're going to do to you? And you know what you do when you knock somebody off? You take a gun, you shoot him right up against his f***ing head. That's what you do. You get his brains all over your nice new Ivy League suit, Michael. That's what happens. Oh. I know you can do it. All right, you prove it to me. You can do it. Go ahead, prove it.
They're all laughing. That's so great. I mean, he probably would have been a great Sonny.
Yes.
But James Caan is Sonny. It just, that's the way it happens. You can't picture anybody else. I don't know. I think that's fantastic. And De Niro certainly did okay by himself too. Brian from Green Bay says, why am I hearing Todd? So confused. We're not hearing Todd. Brian, I hear Conrad. What is this? It's the wacky tobacco again. So I saw, a very quick thumbnail. I saw these two films over the weekend, The Accountant Part 2. Ben Affleck plays an accountant. And if you saw Accountant Part 1, which I really liked, I thought it was good. This one was kind of brutal. Like, the caper parts of it are fun. And John Bernthal plays his long-lost brother. They're both badasses who have been trained militarily by their father. And those parts of the movie were good. But Ben Affleck talks in this, like, weird accent. Like, he's trying to throw himself into the character even more. And he says stuff to John Bernthal, like, when the whole movie's over, he's like, what are your plans? Like he's trying to talk like how people on the spectrum might talk. Oh. It was so awkward. And he does it on and off throughout the movie, and he didn't do it in the first Accountant. Really weird. I've never been able to get on board with him as an actor. But I like his directing. And then I saw Drop, which was good. Have you seen Drop, Todd?
I have not.
A woman, a widow, out on her first date, gets all these threatening texts dropped onto her phone, and she's trying to figure out if it's the guy, her date, or I think when you drop on someone else's phone, it has to be within like 50 feet or something like that. So they're in a restaurant, and she's trying to figure out who it is throughout the course of the movie. Really liked it, but got crazy at the end. And I see that so often, like even in The Accountant 2, the last shootout, they're just running and shooting, and there's like 50 guys shooting. I'm like, really? Nobody hits them? I mean, I'm a bad shot, but geez. Hey, man, this has been fun.
That whole Drop thing, though, that's kind of freaky.
It was a great premise. Yeah, gets a little crazy at the end, but I did enjoy it overall. Brian says Liberace.
That's a Jim Schmidt
thing.
Jim Schmidt is a big fan of Liberace. That's all I'll say. That's all I need to say. Yeah.
That explains so much. All right, folks, thank you for being with us here on Nightlight tonight. Thank you to the guests, the texts. You guys are awesome. Thanks for being part of the show. We'll be back tomorrow night to do it all again. Mike Strelo's here. Tune in. Peach Wabba Nightlight on behalf of Todd Michaels. Good night, Wisconsin.
One half will do.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.